Good morning to you again. Good to be with you here at Radford. Enjoyed the evening last night, fellowship, getting to know some of you better. I know some of you, not nearly all of you. I am talking this weekend about the family, and with somewhat of a targeted focus on relationships between parents and children. Last night we were talking about commitment to our family, and today I'm speaking a little more directly towards parents, and maybe even more specifically fathers, but not necessarily. I think it can be a little neutral, general, gender neutral. And so if you would turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 is some instructions to a number of relationships. One of them is a father to children. And whenever you're speaking of this, you know, as a preacher or a teacher, there's never a good time to talk about parenting. Because if you're young, you have all the answers. If you're middle age, your children are embarrassing you presently. And if you are getting a little older, you kind of start to think you have all the answers. And as you get older and older, you know you have all the answers. And so there can never be a great time. And I don't even like to do it half the time, too, because anytime you open your mouth, it looks like you have all the answers. And I want to be really open and transparent and honest that I did not have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I've been blessed. Okay, I want to say I've been blessed. I so appreciate my family, and I really enjoy being a father. Doesn't mean I do a good job. I don't know if I'm going to do a good job here, but I can tell you I enjoy being a father. That I know. I really enjoy it, and I eat it up, and it is. I just really, really enjoy it. And I love spending time with my family. My family is at that age, if you weren't here last night, they're 12 to 24, and it's just changed so much. Now, like, we're home, but we're all in our little corners. We kind of all do our own little thing. One's studying for school, and one's over reading something, and one's working on schoolwork, and one's doing this, and we're just kind of all in our own corners of the house because that's just the way it is. But yet, we love being home together, even though that we do things together is quite different than it was. I'll read these first from Ephesians 6. I think I'll read the first 9 verses. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master who is also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him." Verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And I think this instruction was given at a time when fathers weren't necessarily known for mercy. I've read sometimes in this Roman world that fathers had some absolute authority, whether a child would even live. And so a father being told, "A father, you're a merciful, you're a good man, you're kind, you're loving, you're gentle," all those things maybe weren't such a compliment when he was writing this. And Paul was saying, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them and admonish them and bring them up in the ways of the Lord." And this was probably something different, some different teaching. It has been said that America is everything. In America is controlled by switches, except children. And if you get kind of the play on words there, we control everything with switches except children. How true has that become? And when we look at the Bible is littered with fathers who came up a little short. And you can think of them, many godly men. We think of David, we think of Eli, Samuel, Isaac, Jacob. There's a lot of examples in the Bible of fathers who were not what they could have been, and we think about them often. As a parent, you have a lot of control over your children for 18 years, and then it goes away. You spend that entire time, in some ways, fighting that battle between being authoritarian and permissive. And probably most of us go one way or the other. But we all think we're right in the middle. I know that. I think I'm in the middle. You think you're in the middle, or you wouldn't be in the middle. You wouldn't do what you do. So we fight that whole thing. And chances are, if you grew up here, you're going to be here. Your father was this, you're going to be this, and we tend to be reactive. That's what we do. And we're thinking of boys especially, how necessary structure and supervision is. If children, and even more specifically boys, don't have structure that gives guidance, we know they will challenge every societal norm and common sense out there. That's just what they do, and that's what they're made to do, and that's what makes society run and makes it good if we can control it and we can guide them. But as we know, boys left to do what they do causes major problems. And girls obviously too, but even more so boys. I come from a city like you. It's obviously a lot larger. Reading is closer to 100,000. And I've lived there my whole life. And I'm sure just driving, I just love driving through cities like this and looking around. And I'm sure there is a lot of similarities, probably a lot of differences. But like where I live in Reading, there are largely no families. Families intact. I don't know what the percentages are. But if I would go knocking on doors and looking for a 20-year marriage, even a 10-year marriage, and all the children in the home, it was a husband and wife, all the children in the home came from the husband and wife, I don't know if I could find any, frankly. I'm sure there is. There are. But that is not. Our homes are just broken. And our city is a mess because it is a bunch of people running around and just living on the streets that were given no guidance, none of this guidance, and they're just living out of without anybody giving them instructions, and the mess and the chaos that we have in our cities because of that. The text comes out, these verses, out of the discussion of relationships. And this is kind of a negative command here. Provoke not your children to wrath. And Paul was introducing, I think, that a child's feelings even matter. And he was encouraging them to care about your children and nurture them and maybe not just roll it with a rod of iron like they often did. Ephesians 5:29, just back a little bit, says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church." And just as Christ cares for us and nurtures us and admonishes us and brings us along, that is what we want to do with our families and our children. Harvard came up with a study some years back that, I mean, they thought they came up with it, but I think every principle that they came up with, the Bible, has spoken of very much. Four primary factors keep children out of trouble. A firm, fair, and consistent discipline from their father. And children need to know that fair, consistent discipline, good discipline, sometimes can frown. Good godly discipline frowns at times. And we know the biblical references to, sparing the rod and spoiling the child and all those things, and we kind of struggle with them today in today's society, and it's a world that is changing. And I know David Brousseau, one of his sermons out there that I listened to, he said the two things that are going to get us in trouble are those verses with their state someday, were those verses and how we deal with that, and then of course the LGBT thing. And those two things, you know, is looking down the road, are going to cause some conflict. And I'm not raising young children today. I probably wouldn't change a lot from what I did. And good discipline is a combination of things. And probably in generations past, in our circles, there was an awful lot of the switch and not enough of love. Maybe some of us are overreacting today. I'm not sure. That's not for me to decide. But firm, fair, and consistent. Second thing they said was a mother's supervision and companionship. And we know how that is so lacking today. It's going to be interesting what's going on in our society, in our country right now. And sad, all the schools are shut down and the daycares are shutting down. Our economy is run by workforce is women with children. So this is going to be kind of unprecedented for us. Not sure how it's all going to affect the economy. Many of our mothers are working, and I'm not here to say that's not the right thing to do. My wife was able to stay home most of the time when my children were not in school. But as I said last night, we were making ends meet by doing some cleaning of dentist offices and evenings and things. And so it is wonderful when the mother can be there in the home, supervising, companionship. The third thing they mentioned was the parents' love for each other and how much stability that brings to a home when the parents love each other and they're not worried about their parents separating. The last one, the family spending time together, doing things together. Four simple. Does so much for a society, a home, a family, a community, a church. Firm, fair, consistent discipline from a dad. Supervision and companionship from a mother. Parents loving each other and the family doing things together. One of the things that is so tough on our families today, too, is the lack of male leadership. And that can get you in all kinds of trouble today, too. But it's the way God designed it. My dad has said, always says, anything with two heads dies. And isn't that true? Whether it's a business, whether it's a church, everywhere, it's just kind of nice to have. It's just the way it is. It's kind of nice at the end of the day when somebody can make a decision. We find that I've been in the school administration for many years, and now I'm not, but I'm still kind of an informal. I'm kind of with the team. And the one thing, we kind of joke around. We can't make a decision. I guess you probably don't have that problem up here because we sit together, all seven of us men, you know, once a week, and we bat things around. At the end of the meeting, it's like, how are we going to make a decision here? So we figured out a way we can make a decision, but good male leadership and being able to make a decision is good. And it's good for the family. It's good for our society. So the command here was, don't provoke your children to wrath. So what does, in our society today, why do sometimes children resent us? What are some things that we do as parents that upset our children, that our children get upset at us? They resent us a little bit. And I've written some of these things down. First one I wrote down is well-meaning overprotection is one reason they can resent us. Again, I say I'm right in the middle. Okay, yeah, I'm right in the middle. I know I am. I come from a family of eight, and so we got a lot of variety, my siblings, and I'm laughing even this coronavirus. I joked around with some people in the back last night about it. Like, my one sister is just like, you know, the reason there's no hand sanitizer on your shelves is my sister bought it all. Okay? I can't wait to tell her I said this over the pulpit. She'll be slapping me around, but she already started their two-week quarantine before our school started it, and that's just my sister. We call her like the helicopter mom or the lawnmower mom. You know what the lawnmower, they mow all the obstacles away so your kids don't have any. So we like to throw those terms. They're very careful. Chris is very careful. And then I joke around like my brother Brian, his kids are probably shopping at Walmart, licking like where you put all your groceries. They don't care, you know. They're older. Now they're a little bit older, but if Brian's kids were licking the thing, you know, the conveyor belt at the checkout, he wouldn't care. That's just, it's all good. The kids got strong immunity. And so we vary a lot. And of course, I'm right in the middle, too, as I like to say. But we do vary a lot, but sometimes keeping our children 6 inches off our hip, watching their every move, making sure they can never get in any trouble, sometimes we think we're building relationships with that, but that's not always the best thing. Overprotection is one reason I think our children sometimes get a little antsy with us. And I look at how different, like, I was raised when my children. I grew up there in the city, and I ran the streets so much more than my children do. And I don't know why all the changes. Part of it was my dad was a completely different person than I am. Those of you that know him, my dad started everything. He couldn't run a corner grocery store, but, you know, my dad just started everything. My dad needs no work. Okay, my dad is just like, we got to start something new. And he helped start Olive Branch and Keystone and Bald Eagle and Fairview Christian School. And my dad had a part in starting that and probably some others. He don't see work. Let's just start something new. Man, and he's dream, vision, and he has health problems now, and he doesn't minister anymore, and his time has passed. So, but I worked with him a number of years. But I would just laugh at him because I just see the work. Okay, I'm the administrator, the operator. And I'm like, Dad, we have enough on our plate. Can you just stop? Can we just try and run what we have? You're just trying to start more stuff? And I could say that to him because I was his kid. But, you know, you've got those personalities up here, too. You have those personalities everywhere. So my dad was often running to all these meetings. And my generation comes along, we're very different. Like, you got to drag me to a meeting. Okay, all our meetings are at like 6 o'clock in the morning because I'm not going away at night unless I absolutely have to. I want to be home with my family. And we just do some things a little bit differently. And so it is, but it's good. And I spent a lot of time, looking for something to do at night, playing basketball. My brothers and I would just basically go to the parks almost every night. The weather permitted, and we'd play basketball. Now, my son's coming along very different. Now, I only have one son that's able to do that, but he did not spend a lot of time at the park. He does some, but I'm much more engaged in knowing what he's doing. And I don't feel like I'm an overprotective, but my dad, I'm not sure which it was. Ignorance or faith? I don't know, but it worked out. All his children are serving the Lord, and we had a lot of rope that we could do things. And so overprotection, not always, that can upset our children. Second one I have written down is showing favoritism. One child showing favoritism. And I like to say it is important that we are fair with our children. We don't necessarily treat them all the same. And I think that's important. I love my children equally, but In some ways, they just need to be treated differently because they are so different. And I'm sure your children are very different also. And my children, like I said, because my wife and I are very different. And some are more like Vonda, some are more like me. And I say I don't treat them all the same way, but I always try to be fair with all of them. And they have different needs. Shane is my youngest. She's 12, and now she's getting older now, but she was just a baby. Man, she never stopped loving me, and I miss those days. I mean, I was just her hero. I want you, Daddy. Just wanted to be with me. My other daughters think I spoiled her, but I don't think that's the case. But, you know, she just loved her daddy, and I knew that would change, but she still loves her daddy today. But, man, she just loved her daddy, and she just gave love. My next one coming up is Tyler. He's a junior, and he's, you know, the big, strong kid, the basketball player, and he, you know what, doesn't have much to say. Give him a book. He likes to read and study, and give him a book. Give him a basketball. He doesn't really need to talk that much. You know what? He's just pretty content. Sherry's my next one up. She's the one that teaches there. She's around 19 or 20 in our school, and she's teaching there. And she's pretty quiet unless she has caffeine, and she changes. But you know what? She usually doesn't have much to say. Lets me hug her once in a while. It's not the highlight of her day. And Sherry just goes about her work, does her thing. Then there's Tiffany. She can be called Marcus in a dress. And she just, to this day, she doesn't even live with us anymore. And when she comes, she takes over the house. You know, she thinks she's the boss. She comes in and she'll start putting stuff away and telling her mom what to do. And she comes in and she's the boss, man. I mean, she's full of energy and, you know, and she's vivacious and talking and having a good time. But yet she's the one that just wants to sit down right beside of me, and she wants me to put her arm around her, and she's happy as a lark. Very different than Sherry. And then Brian, my oldest son. And just a perfectionist and detailed, and his personality is very different. So all my children, I say they're very, very different. And I treat them all different. But the goal I try to do is to give them all their individual needs that they have. And their needs are so different. And it can be tough. It's not easy doing that. Third reason is when we put achievement beyond reasonable boundaries. Our children can't. We don't want our children to always feel like a failure. That is so hard. One memory sticks out to me, and this goes back a long time ago. There was a football player for USC named Todd Marinovich. This goes back to the 90s or 80s. And he was going to be, his dad just raised him to be the perfect NFL quarterback. He did everything. I mean, from little on up, the guy just did everything. And when he finally got to college and that, I'm not even sure if he made the NFL. But the guy was a total, total bust. He was a druggie. He was nothing. And like all his life, like his father was like, this is who you're going to be. This is who you're going to be. And he's striving for it, and the guy just turned out to be a total, total mess. And we push our students too hard and have those high expectations for them, it can really backfire. And I understand. I've been a school teacher for quite a while, and I've thought to parents sometimes, I know your child better than you do. I know it's a little scary thing to say, but their expectations for their children were like, I think you're being a little too positive, because, you know, this is who they are, and a nice way of saying maybe college shouldn't be in their future. And their parents really, really thought that they should, that they could achieve more than they actually could. I feel so bad for students who struggle in school. And being that teacher and being the one that generally, you know, I don't call myself impatient, but I'm also not the most impatient person in the world. You know, but yet I so admire those teachers and those people that can sit all day and help those slower students. And I feel so bad for those students. And maybe there's some of these students sitting here. I have no idea. But I thank God often that all my children like school, and four or five of them excelled in school. And so for me, it was just like I never had to worry. I never helped like a day of homework, or, you know, they could just do it. And I just wasn't in that world. But I have a lot of nieces and nephews and students, and school is just a struggle. And they go home with homework, and it's hard. And my heart breaks for those kids and those parents, because that's not fun. That's 12 years of struggle. And I didn't experience that with my children, but my heart really goes out to them. And how would we feel if we go to work every day and we were basically an absolute failure? We just struggled and failed tests. And I know I try to focus, and I want most of my energy into being things I enjoy and like doing. What do they say? You'll do the best of 75% of your work. You want it to be things you enjoy, and the 25% maybe you farm out. So I feel so bad for these poor children who just have to go to school day after day and just struggle. That is very, very difficult. And my heart just goes out to those children, because they can be discouraged all the time. And so parents, bless you if you have any of those that are struggling. And you know, as long as we have to go back a number of years, did God create boys to sit 6-7 hours a day for a minimum of 13 years? That wasn't the way it always was. It's the way we have to do it today. And I'm big into children graduating and going on to college, but it can be very difficult for those boys to harness that energy and sit and do your best to try not to make them feel like a failure. Another reason is when children are made to feel like a burden, that can cause resentment. And taking care of children is hard work. It's hard work. And it's just hard work. And sometimes we can insinuate, I've been guilty of it already, sometimes we can give the impression, this is hard work, this is a burden. And I know we try very hard with my son that he never gets the impression that he's a burden. But I mean, it's a life-altering event when you have an adult disabled child. I mean, that just consumes your life. That's what you do. But we try very hard that he never feels like a burden. But yet it is life-changing. And with our children too, if they get the impression from us, you know what? Yeah. You guys are such a burden. And it happens, because I've been a parent. It happens. That can be a time where they can get some resentment. Next one I have is they can get resentment towards us when we try to make them grow up too fast. Children are going to do things that just make us want to scream. They are going to spill things. They are going to cut the neighbor's flowers. Whoosh. That neighbor lady that you have trouble getting along with, that's the flower she's going to go after. Her flowers, every time, are going to be the ones they're going to cut. In church, how many times, I've been guilty, how many times have we punished the child in the basement for the level of embarrassment they caused us as opposed to what they did in church? I've been guilty of that. But I just laugh I said, because you know what? You just gotta go with the flow. And some of you might even know a deacon at our church, Ben Martin, Ben and Corey Martin. Nicest guy in the world. Ben is, he is proper. He is professional. He's just everything like cut. He's just good. He's one of my best friends. And his child's rambunctious. His little boy Benjamin, and I just like laugh at him because it's so like Ben and Benjamin. And then my brother Jason, our other deacon, he's like crazy. And Jason is like, you know, he's just, I mean, he thrives in living in the city. And if whether it's chasing criminals or drug dealers or helping people in need, Jason's just all in. He's crazy. Wild, like my dad. He's my dad, Junior. And then he's got the boy that's just like so like refined and doesn't say anything and he's just never gets in any trouble. And we're like, we got these two deacons and their children are like this. So it's just pretty funny that they just, we think you guys got switched up in the hospital, but they're not about the same age, but it's just so funny. And we get a kick out of them. And I remember the one service, Ben, I think he got bungee strap with him and his boy, just going in and out, zoom, zoom, zoom. And as parents, that can be really embarrassing. And you're like, oh, man. And I tell parents all the time, don't worry about it. It's okay. We've all been there. And children are going, they're going to grow up. But it's easy for us to take them out and spank them. Or whatever, for the level of embarrassment that they caused us. I am so embarrassed for what you did to me. Try not to do that. Next one I have is having expectations for our children. We need to have expectations for our children. You can have too high of expectations for your children. And then we can have no expectations for our children. Sometimes you're like, well, what should my expectations be? I say, ask other good, godly people around you. That's one of the blessings that I can tell you have here, and we have in our church, is we have so many good, solid, godly families around. And we can say to each other, how did that work? Why is it that your family is here? And I think that can be really important. Ask people. If you're not sure what your expectations should be, ask others. Because if we have no expectations for our children, they're soon going to believe us every time. Oh, my child can't do that. My child can't do that. You know, oh, no, no, no. They're soon going to believe that they are a failure. Another one is using love as a tool of reward or punishment. And we can. You know, sometimes our children are just more lovable than other times. And sometimes we can get upset with our children. Sometimes we don't really feel like loving them. And sometimes we can convey our love to them or our lack of love. And they can pick up on that. And we want to try hard not to do that. The last one I have is, I think it's an obvious, but obvious across the world and even in our Mennonite circles. And as I mentioned last night, a lot of this is being addressed and just some of the abuse that has taken place. And I am a different generation and my father was a good father, but some of their discipline back there, their physical discipline was harsh. And I hear stories in our circles, men my age, and how they were corporal punishment was given back then. It was like, it feels like it bordered on abuse. And I did not personally experience that, but I know many men like me, my age and older, the stories I hear was like, wow. And that is obviously caused a lot of resentment in our circles. And then, of course, the whole sexual abuse thing and some of those things that have happened. And emotional, verbal abuse, all that stuff is obviously very, very damaging. And You know, sometimes if we ask ourselves the question, why are our children angry at us? And sometimes I think when we discipline our children and they get mad, I think we win so many of the battles when neither of us are upset. As I look back to my disciplining years, and a lot of times I would be, or maybe be upset, and I had a right to be because of what they did, and then the child would be disciplined. But we win, most of our battles are going to be won when neither of us are upset. And when the child's not being bad, and I'm not needing to discipline them, but that relationship that we can build in all those times when things are going well and we're getting along. And that can be so different for children. And so often parents take it personally because, you know, children, God, as I said, like in my family and your families, God made them so differently. And some children feel like sometimes they're wired to be bad. Can I say it that bluntly? And some of them are not wired. And I can honestly say a lot of my children got my wife's better genes, okay? I'll just be honest with you, okay? All right. Well, I was the little rascal, okay? Honestly, I was the rascal. And when my children were young, and part of it is, and I say children learn so much from each other. My disabled son walked till he was 14. So he quit walking about 10 years ago because muscular dystrophy is just slow and degenerative. And my son Ryan, his personality, he is so careful. And he is so, like, disciplined. And I mean, he's one of those guys. And part of it is his defensive mechanisms because he can't protect anything. He can't protect his body in any way. He can't protect anything in his room. If a little kid comes in his room, oh my word, the little kid can destroy everything, and that would just wreck my son's world. I'll put a sign on, stay out of my room, you know, because he can protect himself in no way. And so my son, his tendencies were always that. And I, to be laid back, to be careful. He couldn't be rambunctious. He couldn't even when he was young. And I saw how that affected, like, my whole family because he kind of set that example. And he was that leader as a young boy. And so everybody kind of somewhat fell in that mold. And I know that's not the normal. But children are just so, so different. And the formula that works on this one will not work on this one. And so if you have that child that is just bent to get in a lot of trouble, don't feel bad. Don't blame yourself. Because many times, you know, that child that takes the most work could do so much for the Lord. And those with those high energy, those motors, those, you know, how am I ever going to break that child's will? And the high powered, but they're really the ones many times or make, there are a lot of those type A, high powered missionaries that are going, those high powered preachers. Those children can really do so much for the Lord. I would say more so than maybe personalities like, more like mine. One thing that I think helps us is to not get frustrated and look back as a parent to how you were and how you turned out relatively well. You look like you all turned out okay. But you know what drives us nuts? You know what drives me nuts? When I see it in my children, I see myself. And I'm like, I can't let that happen. And I've got to take care of that so they're not a 24-year-old acting like me. And I got to take care of that when they were a child. But we turned out, most of us turned out okay. And our frustrations are doubled because we're seeing so much of ourselves in that child. And we're like, oof. But try not to let that frustrate us. As dads, we tend to be impatient, more impatient, because we fix things. We're fixers. Now, I am not a fixer in any way of things. I mean, it's a running joke, but my father taught me a lot. My father never taught me how to fix anything. Okay, my dad can't fix anything. My dad's hands don't work. My hands don't work. My mother fixed the things in our homes. My mother built the shelves in our homes. My mother was that. My dad couldn't fix anything. I can't fix anything. It's embarrassing if you knew how bad I was with my hands. And my children laugh and make fun of me. If something's broke, they're like begging me not to touch it. No, Dad, you're going to make it worse. No. If anything needs to be fixed in our home or done, it's YouTube with my wife and one of the children. Took the washer apart recently, the dryer apart recently, and my son, my disabled son, if it's on the floor he can get to, he will meticulously walk through every single detail. They do. So I'm not a fixer of anything. They beg me not to get involved. But as men, we tend to fix things. We go to work and we fix things. I go to school and I fix children, and I go to church and I fix people. And sometimes our children are not fixed overnight. Don't stop disciplining just because our children are getting upset. If most of the time our young children are getting mad when we discipline, we need to put more time in when they're not mad, because we win the angry battles when they are happy. And so I certainly don't have all the answers, and I don't want to come across like I do. But because parenting is fun, but it's difficult. And here's the bad part. When you finally get things figured out, then you're done. And then you can laugh at your children with their grandchildren, because you can remember everything they did to you, and then you can be like, yes. What goes around comes around. But enjoy it. As I said last night, enjoy every stage of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for this group at Bradford. And bless all the young families, and I pray that they would be consistent. And in those days where parenting is hard, I pray that they would just look ahead and really see the beauty, and look at the other families that have raised children, and just how important it is to invest now, and just the wonderful benefits that we can enjoy later. So give us wisdom as parents and grandparents and children, and we thank you. Just thank you for the family and the wonderful unit that it is. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And can we have a song?